answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley, and this is our show. Welcome to our show, Healing the Grieving Heart. Our show is a conversation with those who have suffered a loss and is for healthcare professionals who have worked in this most difficult field. And always our message is others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You do not need to walk alone. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi and me and our guests on the show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. All of our shows can be downloaded on iTunes, and transcripts can be accessed on thegriefblog.com. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
We've got a really great email on our blog today that I talked to you. I wanted to discuss it. It's a woman, a grandmother, who unfortunately her son died in a fall, and she has a two-year-old grandchild, and she wondered, she said there's not a lot in the literature on helping a two-year-old deal with loss, and she wanted us to see if we could comment on it a bit. And I noticed it's only been 2 years for her, so I'll start out by just saying, you know, it was your child, your son, and you do have a grandchild, but you have to realize that I know and you know it's difficult for you to have the loss of your son.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you have a comment, Heidi?
Yes. I was struck by this email because she was also asking how do we keep memories alive for the two-year-old about their father, and we get this question all the time when I work with the 9/11 families because a lot of the women I work with were pregnant when their husbands died. And so these babies never knew their fathers. Now these children are 4 and 5 years old. But one of the things that we need to do as adults is to keep the memories alive for the younger kids.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many great stories about your son that died. And passing those stories on to this child so that this little child, this two-year-old, could actually know his father through the stories that you have.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things I was thinking, Heidi, well, first of all, let me say that I wrote a book a few years ago called The In-Law Survival Manual, and one of the things that I wanted to say is obviously you have to hold your daughter-in-law very dear and very close if you want to remain in good contact with your grandchild. And also, I think one of the best things you can do for that little two-year-old is to help her mother by doing the most you can for the family at this time so that the mother has the energy, after losing her husband, your son, to take care of that two-year-old. Don't you think, Heidi?
Absolutely. And another thing is now that the child is becoming verbal, you'll start to see between like 3 and 4 and 5, children will start to ask, where's daddy? What happened to daddy? They'll ask things, you've moved beyond that. But for them, since they're just becoming verbal, they might have questions that might take you by surprise, and just answering candidly in age-appropriate ways is really the way to handle that kind of thing.
Yeah, and later on when the kids are, say, over 7 years old, when they get into that area, you can say things to them like, I lost my son, but I've never lost a dad. Tell me about that.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I was going to say about the two-year-old, now there are things that you can do, but you need to clear all of this with your daughter-in-law and make sure this is okay with her. But one of the things I suggest to people is that they get maybe 3 or 4 pictures of your son or pictures that you like. Maybe it's not just your son, it's other people in the family, and you make a little hardcover book for him with ring binders. Go to Kinko and take those pictures and have them put in plastic so they're indestructible. And make a little book for that child.
That's a great idea. Pictures of her father, and she can carry it around and say, Daddy, and point to it.
Yeah, and they really enjoy that kind of thing right now. And you can build on that and maybe add more pictures as they get older or, you know, whatever. So that's one thing to do. And we're going to have a guest on today, Heidi, that I think also has some great ideas.
Absolutely, and I wanted to add one more thing before I introduce Beth, and that is my son, who is now 9, never knew my brother. However, I feel like he really has a good idea of who Scott was because I really keep his memory alive. And when Alexander will do something that reminds me of Scott, I talk about Scott, what he liked to do, who he was, so that he kind of has an idea of who his uncle was, even though he's never met him.
Yeah, they like those stories, and definitely. And also we have a website on Library of Life for Scott, and you can do a website of your child through the Library of Life. And it's only like $50 for a lifetime. So if you go on to thegriefblog.com and hit on Scott's site, you can see that. It's very easy to set up a website.
And that also goes right into what our guest has done today. And she set up an amazing website, which we'll tell you how to get after I introduce her.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead and introduce her.
Okay. Our guest today, her name is Beth Page, and our topic is A Mother's Journey Through Grief. Beth Page is the owner of Dakota Winds, a family-owned business that originated from grief and grew because of hope. From their own experience with loss, Beth and her husband have designed some special gifts which celebrate the lasting memories of a lost loved one. Their inspiration was their 4-year-old son, Dakota, who died after a 2-year battle with cancer. Through Dakota Winds, Beth shares her story and plants seeds of hope for brighter tomorrows into the hearts of others who are grieving. Welcome to the show, Beth.
Hi.
Hi, Beth. Great to have you on.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, before we get into all the wonderful things you and your family have done, could you tell us a little bit about Dakota and what happened? And
well, you know, when you were just talking about that email that you got, it reminded me of so many of the memories, and that's exactly what we do, is keeping his memory alive by talking about him. Mm-hmm. He was 2.5 when he was diagnosed. He was quite a character. He loved to, he had quite an imagination.
Now, did he have leukemia, or what did he have?
No, he had a brain tumor called medulloblastoma.
Mm-hmm.
And he was diagnosed at 2.5. His only symptom that we saw, of course, I looked back and I realized that there were things that I didn't see, but his eye crossed. And I was really hoping that it was something simple, that there was just something inside of me. I said my maternal instinct was telling me that I needed to have him checked. And we went to the doctor, and we are in a rural area, and he said, well, I just think we need to do a CAT scan. And I said, do you think it's a brain tumor?
Mm.
And he said, I'd like to rule it out, but I just knew at that moment that's probably what we were dealing with.
Beth, I'm shocked that you knew. I have a 2.5-year-old, and I have no idea. I would never make that connection.
Well, I looked up in, we have a family AMA, you know, family medical guide, I said, which I think everyone should have, and I just looked it up just to see what were some of the possibilities of it happening. And then I started thinking back, you know, he would have headaches. Well, I was thinking they were ear aches because he was 2 and he would say his head hurt, and I was thinking it was ear infections or something.
Right.
You just don't think of your 2-year-old having a headache or, like you say, brain tumor, but he was walking fine. He didn't have any problems with eye-hand coordination. So in that sense, I didn't see the brain tumor characteristics. It was just really when his eye crossed, and what it was is that there was fluid on the eye and caused by the brain tumor.
Now, how many years ago was that?
He died 11 years ago this past April. He was diagnosed in January of 1994.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a while.
I want to ask you, when you're talking about this and saying you didn't pick up the signs, for our audience out there who've recently had children die, how did you feel then? Did you feel like you missed something or like you should have taken him earlier? Did you have any of those feelings?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially when you find out that, you know, that it was still, when they did his surgery, they were able to get almost all of it, but there was a little bit that had metastasized on his, on the brain, the scan, stem. And so they couldn't get it all, and you keep thinking, if I'd come 6 months earlier, would it have been different? Would we still have to go through the same procedures? So, absolutely.
And like you said, though, Beth, but the reality is, too, there's just no way you could have known that a 2.5-year-old would have a brain tumor. And like you said, my child saying their head hurts is an ear infection.
Right.
That's usually what it is.
And I took him to the doctor for an ear infection. And he was actually treated for a little while with what, because again, I don't think the doctors assumed, because you didn't see the other symptoms. So it's normal to second guess yourself.
How did you get through that? How, you know, was that kind of a first year thing or an early thing after he did die?
I think that it's a matter of time, and it's a matter of just going through the grief and the acceptance that no matter what I did, I think this was going to happen. And we all do it differently. My husband, his guilt with various things took him about 8 years to overcome his feeling of guilt of what did I not do or what could I have done differently that Dakota would have lived.
And he's going to be talking, calling in a little later, right?
Yes.
So we'll be able to hear some of his story. That's great.
Was it helpful to hear other parents say that they also had guilt and felt they could have done more?
One of the most supportive things for me and for my husband was talking to other parents who had been through the experience. Now, I will admit, when he was first diagnosed, I didn't want to talk to anyone whose child had died.
Mm-hmm.
I only wanted to hear, you know, the success stories.
Right, of course.
But it is those parents that I met through his treatments for 2.5 years that made me get through what I've been through, because I knew that they had walked that same walk. They understood without my asking a question, whether it was the tears or the crying or the anger, the depression, they knew exactly what I was going through, and they are the ones who helped me get through. So I think that shows like yours, where people can now listen in, because this was 11 years ago that he died, I didn't have a computer. I didn't
right.
have access to so much support except for, you know, the circle of friends and families and mothers that I had met.
Well, we're coming up on break now, so when we get back, we're going to talk more with Beth Page about a mother's journey through grief. And I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley. Please stay tuned to hear more. And join our show by calling our toll-free number, 1-866-472-5792, regarding the losses in your life. If you'd like to email us, you can email us through about this show and upcoming shows through our website, thegriefblog.com. Stay tuned for more.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
Hello, this is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. Many of you have asked Heidi and me about our forthcoming book for parents on helping teens deal with loss. We are pleased to announce that the book will be published by Rainbow Books and will be available in your bookstores spring of 07. Visit our website for the quote of the week, as well as information on our next book, Keeping Your Marriage Strong After a Profound Loss.
Do you want to live a more productive life in spite of your pain? Pain is something that has happened to you. It is not who you are. Tune in to Pain Tamers, time to control your pain. Become your own best advocate. Become informed, equipped, and empowered to fight chronic pain together with Pain Tamers, time to control your pain. With host Helen Dearman, every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Voice America Health and Wellness. Your life, your health, your network.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems, and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. TheGriefBlog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Voice America.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I am Dr. Heidi, and I'm here today with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and Beth Page, talking about a mother's journey through grief. Beth is the owner of Dakota Winds, a family-owned business that originated from grief and grew because of hope. The inspiration for this business was the death of Beth's 4-year-old son, Dakota, who died of cancer. Through Dakota Winds, Beth shares her story and plants seeds of hope for brighter tomorrows. Welcome back to the show, Beth and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Beth, when we went to break, we were talking a little bit about Dakota, for those folks who have just joined us, and about his, and the whole family, I would say, his 2-year struggle with his brain cancer. And he died 11 years ago. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about how, at the time before he died, about some of the guilt we know our audience out there are feeling, too. You know, did I get my child to the doctor soon enough? And, you know, why did I give him the keys to the car? And I don't know, what are some of the other ones, Heidi? And
I was just going to say, Mom, that a parents feel guilty no matter what they did. They just feel like we're here to protect our kids.
Yeah.
That's our role in life. And how could this have happened in a just fair society? This isn't supposed to happen.
And the siblings talk about the survival stuff for them.
Well, that's another thing. Why did my sibling get sick and die and not me? Or why did my sibling get in a car accident and I'm still here? There's a tremendous amount of guilt. And we also feel like we could have done something as siblings. Maybe we should have stopped it somehow. Maybe we could have prevented it. Maybe we should have known. So there's a lot of guilt as well with siblings.
Yeah. And do you have other children, Beth?
Yes. I have a son, Dylan, who is almost 14. He was about 2.5 when Dakota died. Mm-hmm. And then we have a daughter, Skye Elizabeth, and she is 9, and she was born 2 years after Dakota died. And she's very similar to your son, Heidi, in that she never knew Dakota, but she, when someone asks her how many brothers she has or, you know, does she have any brothers and sisters, she always says 2. You know, she always mentions Dakota, who lives in heaven, and Dylan, who teases her incessantly. So, but yeah, she knows Dakota as well as any of us, as far as because we have pictures of him, we talk about him, and of course we have Dakota Winds in his memory.
Absolutely, and we want to talk about that in a minute. But first, we have a caller, Debbie Smith. Debbie, are you there?
Yes.
Hi, Debbie. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
We appreciate your calling in. Could you tell us a little bit something about you?
I work with a construction company.
Uh-huh. And you're a bereaved parent?
Yes.
And tell us about that.
Well, my son was killed in a car accident 16 months ago.
Oh, wow. Sorry. 16 months ago, not long. We're very sorry to hear about that.
Yeah. He was 25.
And how did you get connected up with Beth?
Well, my sister's friend sent me a beautiful wind chime.
Ah.
And
nice.
It sits outside my window and plays the most beautiful tunes when the wind blows. And I mean, I can't tell you how comforting it is. And it was very, unexpected. And when I opened it, it had seeds in it to plant the seeds for Brandon, and I just was so moved by it.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I hear the wind chimes, of course I cry constantly.
Absolutely.
But I think of Brandon, and just sitting there, it gives me peace.
And I love on the website, on Beth's website, that she has an ancient belief which says, when a soul dies, the wind will blow, and the greater the soul, the greater the wind.
Well, obviously my son had a great soul because it blows all the time.
Wonderful.
That's but great. Also Beth has the Dakota Bears, and she helped me at Christmas with Brandon's clothing and made wonderful bears that I could spread Brandon's love with my family and friends.
Oh, how fabulous. Yeah, and so they're a little, we haven't talked about that. You do wind chimes and bears, right, Beth? Do you want to talk about those a little bit?
Right. We have bears that are manufactured, but because I didn't know if I could make bears for everybody that came out, but each of them have patterns where you can make something out of the your loved one's clothes, because when Dakota died, and it took me a couple years after he died to take his ninja pajamas and his, you know, Batman pajamas and make bears, Dakota bears that we all sleep with. And I have emailed, and it's so wonderful to hear Debbie's voice because we've just emailed each other and not spoken on the phone. And she said she didn't sew. And so we were just conversing, and it's like, I want to make something more special for her, and she wanted to make the actual custom bears out of Brandon's clothes. And so when I got that big box of his jeans and his shirts, I just felt like I was also touched with his family in more ways than just them having one of our wind chimes. And so I made the clothes. The wind chimes came from when Dakota died. Alan wanted Dylan to remember Dakota because he was only 2 at the time. And so he just went out and he found a wind chime, and he told Dylan, he says, if you want to talk with Dakota, just ring the chimes, and when they ring, that's Dakota talking to you. Mm-hmm. And they sat by our door, and every time Alan goes in and out of the house, he rings the chimes. And when Dakota died, the winds just blew tremendously, and so we had the chimes were ringing constantly. And at his memorial service, a big twister came up, and some people actually thought we were having a tornado or something and left. And we just know it was that great soul. It was Dakota. So it all fit in together, and for years we just gave wind chimes to folks, and we finally decided a couple of years ago to design our own, which has the sunflower, because we planted sunflower seeds at Dakota's, what we call his celebration, because we wanted to celebrate his life instead of just mourn his death. And and with each wind chime and with each bear, you get a packet of sunflower seeds to show that life does continue on, and to hopefully give hope to everyone, you know, as they go through this.
And that you can also get what the bears have a little charm on them engraved with the name of your loved one, and then on one side, and then on the other side, the charm's a reminder of, it says love you. Yeah.
Right. We will engrave your loved one's name on one side, and same thing with the wind chimes. We personalize the wind catcher, which is shaped in a heart shape, and we'll put a person's name on there. Just again to make it something personal, and the whole theme of the show as far as the memories, to keep those memories alive that, you know, we've lost them in body, but certainly not in spirit.
Right. And in order to look at some of these wonderful things, the bear and the wind chimes, I'm looking at them right now, and the necklace, you can go to their website, which is www.dakota, D-A-K-O-T-A, winds.org, and we'll also put it on our website. Well, Debbie, I wanted to ask you, Debbie, what did do you call them Brandon bears, or...
Well, we do call them at the house Brandon bears, but they do come in handy when you have those times that you just need to hold something.
Absolutely.
and then Beth sent me, as a special little thing, she did me an extra heart out of some leftover clothes that she did. She's such a special person.
Now, how many did she make for you?
She made me 30 bears.
Oh, my goodness. Now tell us.
I have a very large family, and I didn't want to leave anybody out.
Now, tell us what people said when they got them.
Well, when they finished crying and holding onto the bear, they were so touched and could not, you know, they were just without words. They needed something of Brandon, and now they have it.
I love that.
And I didn't want to get rid of his clothes, and that was something to do with them.
You know, Debbie, I just know of so many people who have bags of their kids' clothes around, and they, and mm-hmm. so, it was one lady was telling me her little child died, and she kept the bag really tight because she wanted to keep the smell, you know.
So and they did smell like them, and then
yeah.
I did go out and buy some more of his cologne.
That's wonderful.
That's
a great idea, too.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it's, they have, and the just the chimes and the bears just keep Brandon in our home.
And, well, and at night you can sleep with them, with the bears, and have them close to you. In
well, my grandbaby, I gave him one to take home with him, but he steals mine when he comes to my house. And he has to keep it. And he said, I have to have my bear. And
yeah.
So we fight over it.
You know, that's great because we just received an email. We were talking about it at the top of the show about a grandma who her two-year-old grandchild, she's trying to, her son died in a fall about the same age as yours, and she's trying to figure out how to keep the memories alive for the two-year-old. So this is another wonderful idea, this bear
Absolutely.
Idea. I like it very much.
Yeah, well, Nathan plays ball, and I'll say, who taught you how to play ball? And he said, my daddy. And I said, he goes, you know Brandon, don't you? Yeah, I think I do, baby. I think I do.
Very true.
Yeah, these kids just break your heart, don't they?
Uh-huh.
They're just so upfront and so honest and
yep.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Debbie.
Thank you, Debbie.
Good luck on your journey, and please listen in on some of the shows and email us if we can do anything for you. And thank you so much for coming on the show.
I appreciate it, and thank you so much, Beth.
Well, Debbie, I'm so glad to hear you, and thanks so much for calling.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for asking me to be on.
Bye-bye.
Well,
that's wonderful.
It's really great.
I love all those ideas. I love the wind chimes and the bears. They're wonderful. And I love the sunflower seeds in order to celebrate life.
It's great. Well, we're coming up on break right now, and I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and please stay tuned to hear more about things that you can do to remember your children, and with Beth Page, A Mother's Journey Through Grief. You can email us through our website, thegriefblog.com, and you can call in today on our show. Our number is 1-866-472-5792. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
This is Dr. Heidi Horsley, co-host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you've lost someone close to you, the holidays sometimes aren't as happy as they used to be. That's one of the reasons we created the Grief Blog. Visit www.thegriefblog.com and take advantage of the articles, stories, radio show archives, and comments all about dealing with loss. We'd love it if you'd share some of your holiday stories, poems, recipes, and traditions with our growing community of people just like you and just like me who've lost someone close to them. It's as easy as sending an email and a great way to remember and honor your loved one. Please tune in Thursdays, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, to Healing the Grieving Heart on Voice America, and have a happy and safe holiday season.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Autism One, a conversation of hope, hosted by Betsy Hicks, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Betsy offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities.
adult services, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcast each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi, and I'm here today with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and Beth Page, talking about a mother's journey through grief. Beth is the owner of Dakota Winds, a family-owned business that originated from grief and grew because of hope. The inspiration for this business was the death of Beth's 4-year-old son, Dakota, who died of cancer. Through Dakota Winds, Beth shares her story and plants seeds of hope for brighter tomorrows. Welcome back to the show, Beth and Gloria.
Thanks, Hyde.
Hi.
Well, when we went to break, for those who've just tuned in, we just had a caller, Debbie Smith, and she was talking about this fabulous Dakota Winds business, I guess we'll call it a business, but a business of the heart, right, Beth?
Absolutely.
That Beth Page and her husband do, and they produce bears for people out of... Do you do bears without children's clothes? Do you just have generic bears that you send out?
Yes, we do have manufactured bears that we have, but that we custom with them with a heart charm with a person's name, and they do come with a pattern, which you can make either aprons or overalls your own if you'd like.
Okay. And then what if people send the clothes in of their child? Do you make them, or are they...
Yes, I do that right here at home.
Oh, you actually do it. Wow. You made the 30 bears for Debbie Smith for Christmas?
I made her 30 bears. My living room was full, but it was a labor of love, let me tell you.
That must be incredible, because Heidi and I really feel like when we do a show with somebody like you or a bereaved parent, we really feel, or a sibling, we really feel that child becomes part of us, don't you think, Heidi?
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah.
They become part of
us. Right, just to have Brandon's clothes in your living room.
And I have his picture here. She sent me a picture of him because I wanted to know what he looked like, and so I have it right here in the office, and every name that we've ever engraved on a heart. We have those above our engraver because I just said I just can't throw that away. That's a piece of that child.
Right.
And to also let you know that a little bit of what, when you said business, I said, well, let me just also explain that part of what we do is that part of the proceeds that we get from the wind chimes and the bears, we have a special memorial fund that was set up in Dakota's name when he died. Because so many people helped us that we wanted to help others, and so we have taken part of our business, and then we help those who, we put tires on a mother's car because her son has had cancer, and through all of the treatments that he's had, she's needed new tires for her car, and things like that that insurance doesn't pay for, that you may not always have that extra income, So when you purchase something from us, you're continuing on to help other people as well through our memorial fund.
That's great.
That's
so
wonderful.
Yeah. So the things you have are wind chime, a bear, and
right
and
now that's
the little...
what that's. We've limited ourselves to that to begin with because we just started selling the products back in January a year ago. So we've had this in our hearts ever since Dakota died. But we finally decided to commit ourselves to our passion about 2 years ago when designing it and then actually setting up our website about a year ago.
Yeah, and the website is www.dakotawinds with an S on the end, .org.
Okay.
And when you say we have the other we on the phone, I think. Alan, are you there?
Hello.
Hi, how are you? This is Alan Page, Beth Page's husband, right, Beth?
Yeah, absolutely. I hope it
can. Well, Alan, we appreciate your calling into the show.
You're welcome.
And Heidi and I were thinking that we'd love to get a little dad's perspective of how you got to where you are and about Dakota and as a guy, how you've dealt with it.
All right. Well, one thing I want to say about the wind chime is what I really like about it is it's a kind of spontaneous thing that what you miss when you lose someone close to you is that spontaneous when they're walking through or running through the house, or you know, you hear them all of a sudden, and that's what the wind does. You're not thinking about them, and then you hear the chime ring. It brings them to you, a spontaneous feeling. It's a great feeling.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
And it all of a sudden brings their memory in.
Yeah, and it's not, you know, when you least expect it, that's when you hear it. It's just a slight ring or whatever.
Now, did you make the first wind chimes?
On the first one, it was a gargoyle, because my little boy Lev, anything ugly. He loved, you know, like Ninja Turtles and all those things when he was a little boy.
Uh-huh.
And he always used to dress up like them, and, you know, he's always dressed up like some character every day.
Uh-huh.
He would have been an actor for sure, I think. He always made you laugh. He was a great fella.
Now, do you get involved in actually producing the wind chimes?
Now, we designed it. I'm an artist, and I drew it up, and then we got a wind chime company to actually create it for us.
Now, go ahead.
And other thing you all were talking about, you know, dealing with grief and dealing with guilt.
Right.
And all those fun things.
Yeah.
One way I always found that helped me, the one thing that helped me when I was feeling really guilty and feeling bad, was just to kind of talk to Dakota and see what he'd say to me, you know. And Dakota, you know, if Dakota was here, he'd say, Dad, it's not your fault, you know, because that's what you blame yourself for a lot of things. And we went through bone marrow, and I really didn't want to do it. And I feel like part of that took him away. And
Could you talk about that a little bit? Because I think there are dads who... things happened and they didn't feel like it should have happened. Could you talk about that a little bit?
Dads grieve a lot different than, you know, mothers or women. And men are totally different. We get more angry.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I definitely get angry. I held on to that anger for a long time, even though, you know, you didn't see it in me that much, but it was in there. And it took a long time for it to finally get out and for me to let it go.
Now, what kind of things were you angry about? Just for a folks out there.
Well... He was supposed to go through a bone marrow transplant, and he had no cancer at this time. The doctors wanted to do it because they wanted to make sure that they got anything else, you know, that might be there, a seed, because this type of tumor planted seeds, like, down the spine. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he would do better without it. But everybody else and my wife felt that it was all right, and she usually had the better sense than I did. You know, just had a gut feeling, better gut feeling than I did. So I went along with it, I wanted to turn around when I was driving him to the hospital because he was doing so well. You know, he had been doing better than he's done the whole time, and it was just hard to take a healthy child and put him through that where mm-hmm. they lose their entire immune system. And then after we did it, he made it through all that. About a month or so later, the tumor, he started. One day he was out running around the yard with me. He said, Dad, I just want to run. And he wouldn't stop me. He ran for an hour. You know, it was getting dark, and he's still running around. And he just knew something was going on. And the next day he couldn't walk. The tumor had got into his spine, and he was becoming crippled.
Mm.
And so and then we went and, of course, got it checked, and found out that he had, like, 13 tumors on his spine. That drop, and that there wasn't anything we really could do. We could have done radiation, but we went for quality of life and took him home and let him enjoy the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we were very honest with him. We told him that he was going to die. He talked to us and said, all right, I don't want to talk about it anymore. And he was just a happy child to the day he died. He was an amazing kid.
So he had a wonderful quality of life at the end, it sounds like, and that was the right decision.
Yeah.
That's great.
And, luckily, we were able to keep him at home and be able to hold him and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that made him, I like to think that was very special, too.
Mm-hmm.
And but anybody that loses anybody always, I'm think, I don't know how anybody can not feel some type of guilt. But I think the best thing is to put yourself in your child's place or whoever had passed away and let them talk to you because they wouldn't want you to feel that way.
So, Alan, when you were saying, I know you were talking a lot about how you were angry, and we hear that a lot with the men on our show, how it's easier to be angry than in the pain that you're in. I mean, the anger is kind of the grief. How are you able to let go of that anger and move forward?
Well, it took about 8 years, like my wife said. I mean, it wasn't just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the one time I finally let go, I'm a big outdoorsman. I was duck hunting, and I was in a boat, and you know, I was in a big storm, and it was like big seas, and I was close to a sinking boat, and life, you know, life or death, and I just didn't make it back. I don't know, something out there was kind of like a Forrest Gump moment when the guys out there, and it just all hit me. And
what hit you? The idea that life was worthwhile, or what hit you?
I guess that, you know, I wasn't going to be gone. I wasn't going to let God take me then. You know, I got angry at God, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm a more spiritual person, not a religious person as much. It's hard to explain, but I feel very, I lost my mother, and she came back, and I spoke to her in spirit.
Uh-huh.
So I feel that there's very much a spiritual world out there.
Well,
and,
you know, one thing that strikes me about your happening at sea was it was the wind again, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was a lot of wind. It was about, the waves were about 10 foot, over. I was in a 14-foot boat, and people around me that were out there duck hunting were thinking I was crazy. I was a little bit crazy. I guess I took chances sometimes when I shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah, that's one thing we hear from men, too, is that they sometimes take some chances. Males.
Yeah, I remember lightning striking when we were on a picnic one time. I said, I dare you to hit me. And my kids go, I dare you. Every now and then they tease me.
So you have that turnaround. If you've got any advice for men out there, what would it be about loss? I like the idea of talking to your child.
Yeah.
We hear a lot of people say, too, that they write letters to them.
Yeah.
And then maybe write an answer.
Yeah, well, I used to have a book that, you know, when it first happened, I used to write to them, and I used to write my thoughts down and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And that always helps. It always helps to get it out some way. And, you know, you can't find very many people that you can talk to, especially men.
Right.
And nobody wants to hear about your lost child or, you know. But you can bring up their memory. And one of the best things you can say to a grieving parent or anybody,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you hear everything. You hear, like, you know, people say, it was, you know, he's with God now and all these other things. All that does is make you angrier.
Mm-hmm.
He's in a better place. That makes you angry. The best thing to do is ask them about that child and tell them, you know, if you didn't know him, say, well, what was he like? What was his personality like? And just let that person talk and just listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to do, because you need to let people talk. And that's because they don't want to forget their child. I mean, I shaved my head when Dakota went to bone marrow.
Uh-huh.
And I still shave it today. And every now and then, people will say, why you shave your head? And I get to bring up Dakota. I mean, it's a way of keeping his memory alive right there.
Right. And how about Dylan and Sky? How are you helping them remember him? Or?
Oh, they're incredible kids, too. And Sky is, I think Dakota picked her up special and sent her straight to us. And she's got a lot of the same spirit and imagination, and she knows everything about Dakota because she watched the videos, and she can mimic his voice sometimes, and she knows him as well as any of us does.
And she's 9, right?
Yeah.
And how about Dylan at 14? Do you worry about him? Because I know we've got some men out there thinking about their, you know, their sons.
Dylan doesn't remember Dakota as well, you know, as a child when he was little. They were buddies. I mean, they used to snuggle up to each other. And I was a house husband for a while, so I got to watch all that fun stuff. And they were really, really close. But he, you know, at 3 years old, you can't remember a lot. But he knows just like Scott through the movies and videos.
Mm-hmm.
And we have pictures everywhere.
Yeah, it's great.
And
you have live videos, too.
We celebrate Dakota's birthday.
Yeah, we still celebrate every year.
He sends them Christmas presents.
Yeah.
And his pictures are everywhere. And
mm-hmm.
it's just part of who we are. And, of course, we have also been involved with fundraisers through Relay for Life, our local Relay for Life, and we have talked with other people, so they see that part of it too.
Yeah, let's talk. It's time for us to go to break, and when we come back, Beth, could you stay on with us, Alan?
Sure.
When we come back, let's talk about some of the things that you've been doing, because I know you guys have been involved in some things to help others, and as well as your business, you have some other things going on. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and we're coming up on our final break, and please stay tuned to hear more from Beth and Alan Page about their journey through grief.
You can email us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, and these shows are all archived on our website, and you can also download it on iTunes. Stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Compassionate Friends Self-Help Bereavement Support Organization has nearly 600 chapters in the United States, offering friendship, understanding, and hope to families that have experienced the death of a child, no matter the age or cause. If your family has suffered this tragic loss, there is no reason for you to walk this difficult journey alone. Many who have had a child die have learned how helpful it is to be able to talk or just listen in a group setting with those who truly understand the pain of losing a child. To locate a chapter near you or to receive a free comprehensive bereavement packet, including a copy of the Compassionate Friends National Magazine, We Need Not Walk Alone, call toll-free 877-969-0010. You are also invited to visit the TCF National website at CompassionateFriends.org.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley, host of Healing the Grieving Heart. When you're not listening to our show every Thursday at 9 Pacific, noon Eastern, visit our new blog at thegriefblog.com. It's loaded with articles, personal stories, poems, and more. Our blog is dedicated to helping you and your family deal with loss. While you're there, submit your loved one's favorite recipes, your poems, and stories, and listen to our archives of our past shows. Thegriefblog.com is where you'll find us. And, of course, listen to our show every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern, here on Voice America.
Does your business have what it needs to compete in today's marketplace? Does your company's image set you apart from your competitors? Whether you are looking for a new brand identity or product strategy, host Robert Hale will help you create new market strategies that will grow revenues and profits. Whether your company has $1 million or $100 million in sales, Building Successful Marketing Strategies airs live on the Voice America Business Channel every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 Eastern. To be successful in today's competitive market, a commanding strategy that positions your company for growth will be your strongest possible strategic advantage in any business. Building Successful Marketing Strategies will explore innovative ideas and practices that use the latest theories and practice. Join host Robert Hale every Friday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 3 Eastern, for Building Successful Marketing Strategies and begin building brand and market share.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I am Dr. Heidi, and I'm here today with my mom, Dr. Gloria, and Beth and Alan Page, talking about their journey through grief. Beth and her husband, Alan, are the owners of Dakota Winds, a family-owned business that originated from grief and grew because of hope. Welcome back to the show, Beth, Alan, and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
And I don't know if we've got Alan. We think we might have lost him. Oh, you're there. Oh,
good.
We didn't have you during break, so we thought we lost you.
Okay.
Well, good. I'm glad you're back on. So we were talking a little bit when we went to break. Alan was telling us a little bit about Dakota's death from Dad's point of view, and we were talking a little bit about their business and how you can go on their website and you can order some bears, you can order wind chime, and all these things that they've done to help bereaved parents. Dakota died, what, 11 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm. April 23rd,
1996.
Mm-hmm. 1 week before he turned five. And he said he would never be five, and he was right.
He said that. Oh, my goodness.
Several times, that he would never be five and that he would never go to school or ride a school bus, and he died exactly 1 week before he would have turned five.
Uh-huh.
So we just, and that also kind of gives me a sense of peace in thinking, you know, he knew in some mm-hmm. way, and that this was, again, it was meant to be his life. A short life, but it was to be his life, and then we have to go on and make something out of that short life so that we can have some meaning or purpose behind it.
Because it sounds like he had made peace with the fact that his time on this earth was limited.
Yes, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Is that your feeling too, Alan?
Oh, I think he knew that he was going to die somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Because see, that's when he said that, he was at his grandma's, because grandma said, soon you'll be five, you'll go to school. And he just said, matter of fact, no, I'll never go to school, and I'll never be five. You know, just, but, he was a happy kid all his life. Yeah. He was just a good old fella.
Well, as you both said, you
know, he was an old soul.
We used to kind of have it on the show, people died before their time, and we cut that off because it's not before their time, that's their life.
Right.
That was his life, and a wonderful life, and you know, for you all, and knowing him, and having
also,
him.
If you love somebody, I don't care if they're 90, they die before their time in your eyes.
Yeah.
Because
right.
You're sad for yourself, because we miss people when they're gone.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I wanted to ask you, I know that you did your, both of you, you did your the things you're doing with the bears and the wind chimes and things to help others as you were helped. It says on your website. Now, how were you helped? What helped you? If you could both give us, each of you, give us a little couple of things about what helped you. Do you want to start, Beth?
Mainly it was just the support. We have a strong family support. I had college friends that I hadn't seen in 20 years who flew in from all over when Dakota was in the hospital and came to it and at his memorial service, but also just the cards, the people gave money, like I say, which we started with our memorial fund, just being there,
mm-hmm.
just the phone calls, and remembering Dylan, who was only 2 at the time, or 6 months when Dakota was diagnosed, always remembering him and making him feel important, I think was wonderful too, because you don't want just all the attention on the child who was sick or on the grieving parent.
Right. Oh, that's so great, isn't it, Heidi, as a sibling?
It's really great, because I was seeing most siblings say that they complained because they feel that they were overlooked and unacknowledged,
mm-hmm.
and it sounds like for Dylan that was not the case.
I certainly hope. I don't think so. That may give you a different perspective.
You know, maybe they respond a little bit more to kids, you know, younger kids than they do to teens. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That might be part of it. Alan, what about you? What did you find that people did that helped you? It's early on, those first year or two.
Well, a lot of things. We went to the hospital some and gave things away to the kids that were sick.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that helped me a lot, just being able to give back.
You know, isn't that kind of a male kind of thing, too? The doing is more helpful than just talking. We find a lot of males like to do something. You're an artist, right?
Right.
And did you draw things, or did that stunt your artistic thoughts for years?
I didn't really do any art with Dakota. I do have something in mind. I got some of his masks when he did radiation.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, that they put over their face, it molds exactly to the face, so it still has Dakota's face in it.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And someday I want to do something with that. I've got an idea for it, but I haven't done it yet.
Oh, that's
neat. Very interesting. Now, did you guys do Compassionate Friends? I noticed you haven't mentioned on your website.
Again, we didn't have a computer back then, but I did get information from them, yes.
Uh-huh.
And Dakota was treated at Duke Medical Center in Durham, North Carolina. And they had a wonderful bereavement program,
mm-hmm.
and we were, since he was treated for 2.5 years, we were pretty close to a lot of the staff there,
mm-hmm.
and so we stayed in contact with them and found a lot of support from them as well.
Now, afterwards, they stayed in contact with you, was it?
For about a year, you get monthly mailings, and then I could also call the family support person at that time who gave us the ancient saying about the winds, when a soul dies, the winds will blow. That was BBC, Memorial Service.
Mm-hmm.
And we, in fact, I'm still in touch with her and involved with various programs with her right at now, even 11 years later.
Now, Alan, did you find that supportive, the hospital? For some people, I would think maybe they wouldn't want to be involved with the hospital and maybe bring back bad memories. I don't know.
Well, I have another friend who lost a child to cancer, too, at the same hospital, and he didn't want to even go back.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have that bad experience with the hospital as he did. Depends on how you have, what kind of experience you have, I believe.
Right. Well, it's time to close our show, and it's just been wonderful having you both on. And I know you help each other and the world so much with the things that you're doing. Don't you think, Hyde?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being on.
So,
well, thank you. And thank you for all that you all are doing, too, to help families.
Well, have a good day, and it's time to close our show now. And please stay tuned again next week when our guest will be Bud Welch, and our topic will be From Rage to Reconciliation. In April of 1995, Bud Welch's 23-year-old daughter, Julie Marie, was killed in the bombing of the Mura Federal Building in Oklahoma City. This is a fascinating show of forgiveness. This show is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Please stay tuned again next Thursday at 9 Pacific, 12 Eastern for more of Healing the Grieving Heart. Thanks for listening. I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley and
Dr. Hyde Horsley. Dakota is gone but not forgotten. He lives on in your heart, your memories, and in all the work that you do. Thank you, Beth and Alan.
One more note, if I can.
Okay.
Okay. Next time the wind blows, just open your arms and you can hug your loved one.
I love it. Thank you.
That's wonderful, Alan.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
To Dr. Gloria and Dr. Hyde Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the compassionatefriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.
Helping you make informed decisions for